All right. Today, being September the 8th, 2024, we're going to begin lesson number 9 today. Lesson number 9 in this new series of lessons entitled The True Story of the New Testament, Responding to Christ and His Commission. Today, we continue with the church's doctrine, and today it is on sanctification. Sanctification, that's a big word, but it just basically means growing in the Lord. It means growing in the Lord. So we're going to look at it today. It's part one today. I want to give you our theme verse for this Sunday, for the lesson. And it's simply this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And if I could sum up the lesson today in just one little statement, I'd tell you this. There's more to salvation than just being saved. There's more to salvation than just being saved. Everybody, is, and it's a good thing, I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell, that's for sure. But you know what? If God only saved us to take us to heaven, then He had the right, the very moment we trusted Him as our Savior, to stop our heart, boom, and take us right on. But He's left us here for a purpose. And He's left us here for a reason. And He's got something for us to do. And we do it for Him in love. Amen? We do it for Him in love. So we've gone through several books in the Bible here. I love the one where we went through the book of Romans. That's a good one. We studied there about the gift of salvation. And while we understand that all of these things were given to these men of God that penned these words for the Lord, God wanted us to understand that He has left us here with a purpose. You have a new purpose in life. Now that you know Christ as your Savior, now that I know Christ as my Savior, God's got a purpose. He's got a plan for my life. He's got a plan for your life. And when the Apostle Paul got saved, but his life changed, did it not? His life changed. And I want you to look at this morning. He wanted everybody to know that he was not the man he used to be before he got saved. Now, if you read before Acts chapter number 9, Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8, you're going to see that he was a rascal. He was a religious rascal, but he was a rascal. And he hated the cause of Christ. He hated anything to do with Jesus. And he hated it in the name of religion. He hated it in the name of religion. And folks, when God saved him, his life was changed. His way of living was changed. Everything about him changed. And he wanted everybody else to know what God had done for him personally. And as God used him through these things, I want you to see the fact that he was not ashamed of Christ. He was not ashamed of Christ. I led someone to Christ recently, and I told him, I said, now you're not ashamed of accepting Christ and having him as your Savior now, are you? And they said, oh no, I'm thankful that he saved me. You know what? We ought to be thankful that God has saved us. We ought not to be ashamed of what God has done for us. But the Apostle Paul was not only not ashamed, and he wanted everybody to know what Christ had done for him, but secondly, he wanted everybody around him to know that if Christ could change his life, then he could do the same thing for anyone's life. And you know what? When we look at that and we think about what God did for us personally, think about that. If God could do it for me, God could do it for you. If God could do it for you, he could do it for anybody else. And this was the message that Paul was trying to tell everybody. He was a new creature now in Christ, and he wanted everybody to know. But thirdly is this, and I try to always keep this in my heart and my mind. I try never to forget where God brought me from. Paul never forgot where God brought him from. And folks, listen to me. The day that we forget where God brought us from is the day that our lives are going to start getting messed up. When we neglect what Christ has done for us, when we forget all that God has changed in our lives that we might be a new creature in Christ, when we forget those things, boy, we're headed for trouble. We're headed for trouble. And I want you to remember today, Paul never forgot. And I think this is why Paul was so greatly used of God, because he never forgot what the Lord Jesus did for him. Now, I'm going to do something here just a minute. I want you all to smile. If you got a mask on, smile real big, okay? I was telling the guys, I appreciate Brother Gary and Gerson and Francis for helping us set up our class and everything. I stayed with them Friday night to make sure we got everything cleaned up and set up in chairs in here. And I wanted to take a picture of you guys just in the chairs so that they will know, okay? They said, "You really need all those chairs in there?" And I said, "Yes, we do." And I want to show them what it looks like, empty and now full, okay? All right? So I'm going to take a picture here just a second. I'm going to take it on this side. Y'all smile. All right? All right? And we'll get this section here. Y'all smile. All right, there you go. And I'm going to get this little section right here with the four empty ones in the front. All right, that's good. All right? And I'm going to get this section over here. All right? All right, there you go. And I'm going to prove to them that we really do use these chairs. Amen? All right? Great. I was just thinking about that. All right. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being here on Donut Sunday. Amen? I wish we could do that every day. We gave Pastor, for his birthday, we gave him a box of six of the Bavarian cream-filled chocolate-coated donuts today. All for him, okay? All for him. So I told him to make sure to keep it in his office so that Mrs. Belcher did not get those, all right? So, y'all pray for him, all right? Amen. Let's get back to the lesson today, okay? All right. This is why it's part one, okay? All right. This is why it's part one.
Did you give all six to him?
I gave all six to him in one box. Yes, sir. I only licked two, but I didn't tell him which ones. Just. Amen. But you know, Paul never forgot where God brought him from. And you know what? He sets a good example for us. I never will forget reading a story about the great evangelist Dwight Lyman Moody. And Brother Moody, he remembered what God had done for him. He never forgot that. And perhaps the line most frequently attributed to Brother Moody and spoken by his character in famous quotations was this quotation. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated unto him. By God's help, I aim to be that man." Boy, that's a strong statement. And you know, he remembered that because he was listening to a British revivalist in his day in 1873. The man's name was Henry Varley. And he had befriended Brother Moody there in Dublin. And he was preaching one day, and he took the opportunity to say something very similar to that when he was preaching. And Brother Moody was traveling back from the British Isles back to America. And he said this, he said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him." And Brother Varley said, "Well, I don't remember actually saying that." And Brother Moody said, "Oh, but those were the words sent to my soul through you from the living God. As I crossed the wide Atlantic, the boards of the deck of the vessel were engraved with them. When I reached Chicago, the very paving stones seemed marked with Moody. The world is yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated unto him. But under the power of those words, I have come back to England, and I felt that I must not let more time pass until I let you know how God has used your words to my inmost soul." And folks, when Brother Moody heard those words, he wanted to be the man that God wanted him to be. And that's what you and I need to do today. I may not ever be a Dwight Lyman Moody, But I can be an E-ray shut. Amen. And I can be a servant for God. I can give Him my best. And you know what? You can do the very same thing. You can give God your best. Consecrate your life unto Him. Salvation is not only God's way to heaven, but salvation is God's way for us to live our lives here on earth from day to day. Do things go well every day? No, not every day. We have problems and trials and health issues. I want to remind you to pray for Pastor Johnny Lim over in the Philippines. He has dengue fever and very sick with it right now. He's in the hospital. His two girls have been sick with it. His family's been sick with it. He's got three church members in his church sick with it in the hospital. Comes from a mosquito bite and very, very sick. You can die from that. You can bleed internally with it. And everything. And right now, his blood platelet count is very low. I think it was down to like 56 or something like that the other day. And today, he said it was up some. I was talking to him this morning and just praying for him. But pray for him. But folks, we go through all kinds of issues in our lives. And the thing about it is this. As God brings us through those things, He goes with us all the way. And that's what the Apostle Paul wanted folks to understand. That as we grow, as we become more sanctified, mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's there with us all the way. So as we begin in these lessons, we're going to look at the four prison epistles. This is what this lesson part is going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at those four prison epistles, the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, and then the book of Philemon. And we want to start today with the epistle written to the Ephesians, the church of Ephesus, the church of Ephesus. I want you to see this. In this city, I looked up some things about this, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. But the city of Ephesus was called the chief city of the Roman province in Asia, the western third part of Asia Minor. It was a large and populous city located on the Caistor River. It was also a center of commerce. It had two noted buildings, the theater, which was the largest in the Greek world at that time. And Paul writes about that, okay, when they went in there and they were accusing him of tearing up everything. That place sat over 25,000 people. Imagine that, 25,000. And all those folks filled up that theater to protest Paul preaching against their false goddess, Diana. Now, that's a big crowd of folks to have against a man. But that was one of the buildings. The other noted building was the Temple of Diana, or Artemis itself, which was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. And the city was full of idolatry, and especially worshipers of this goddess, Diana. That was the city of Ephesus. That's the one that the disciples were in, Paul was in, and preached the gospel, and it turned them basically upside down. Well, maybe we ought to say it set them right side up. Amen. God did a great work there. Now, the Ephesian church, as you look here in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, we're going to begin here today. And really, if you looked at this first chapter in the book of Ephesians, we could refer to that as the thankfulness chapter. The thankfulness chapter. Brother Paul was writing here about his thankfulness for them. And God had done some great wonders in the hearts and lives of these people who at one time were idol worshipers, worshiped false gods, little trinkets made out of silver. They would bow and worship those little trinkets. And look what he said here in, let me do this. Let's go back to Acts chapter 19 just a moment. Acts chapter 19, you'll see where we're coming from here, okay? Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1, Here it tells what happened in Ephesus, okay? This gives you a little background. The Bible said, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto him, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now remember, John was the last Old Testament prophet. Do you remember that? He was the last Old Testament prophet. He preached that the Messiah, the Savior, would come. And he preached unto them, and they committed themselves to what John was preaching, saying, I believe this. And their act of commitment was, they're looking for the Savior, they're looking for Messiah. They baptized, John baptized them as a symbol of commitment unto the Savior that would come. But when John saw the Savior, he turned all those people away from him, and he pointed them to Jesus. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so these folks had only heard that the Savior was coming. They did not know that Jesus had come. They did not know that Jesus had died for them and all the things that were going to happen. They did not know that it had fully come to pass yet. So they had been baptized unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized them with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues or other languages. God began to use them the same way. They prophesied. They began to tell others about what Christ had done. And the Bible said, and all the men were about 12. There were 12 of them. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father. When they spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Why did they do this? God used these miracles to point folks to the Savior. This was what was done through the Apostle Paul. This is not something that's still happening today, folks. This is not going on. We're not selling handkerchiefs and wiping sweat and giving it to people and all that healing stuff. Listen, we've got the complete Word of God today. They didn't have any of that in their day. And the Bible said that God used him in a special way. And the Bible said here, there were certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, okay? And they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. Boy, isn't that amazing today that the devils know who Jesus is? Listen, our politicians don't know him, but the devils know him. Hey, boy, that says volumes right there, does it not? Hey, listen, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Boy, that was a sad day for them, wasn't it? Trying to put on a show. Trying to do what the Apostle Paul, God had given him power to do. And it was not real what they were doing. It wasn't real. And folks, listen. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Folks, they took their trinkets and their sorcery books, their horoscope books. They took all the stuff that they had. And they said, we've trusted Christ as our Savior. We're burning this stuff. They had invested millions, most likely, into those things to make them religious. But when they met Jesus, all of those things meant nothing. And they burned them. They said, we don't want to have anything else to do with this. I heard somebody tell me one time, they said, well, I've got a bunch of rock and roll records I had before I got saved. I don't want them, so I'm going to take them to Goodwill. I said, don't take them to Goodwill. Burn those things. Break those things. We used to have a record-breaking day down at our little church in Winston-Salem. And the kids would bring their records, and that shows you how long ago that was. But they would bring the records, and over their bus captain's head, they'd break that record. All right, until they come to those that didn't break. And man, we stopped it. I didn't do it anymore because it hurt so bad. Those things didn't break, and they turned it this way and tried to do it. And man, so we just stuck them in an old 55-gallon barrel out there and burned the things. And CDs and 8-track tapes, cassette tapes and all that stuff, they just burned them all. But you know what? They counted the cost of those things, 50,000 pieces of silver. 50,000 of anything is a lot. But you know what? They counted it all for loss because they knew the Savior who had changed their lives. Man, what a difference. Later we read about how that so many people that were being saved and lives were being changed, that the silversmiths that were making the little goddess of Diana temple dolls and all this other stuff, they were complaining because they were losing money, and they got mad and they caused a big riot among the people. Remember that? They caused a big riot, and it caused the Apostle Paul to eventually just have to leave the whole area. But through it all, through all the persecution, through all the things that were happening, the church of Ephesus was established, and God began to grow it mightily. And the power of the Word of God prevailed above all the persecutions that came upon them. And it became one of the more spiritually mature churches. As a matter of fact, you'll read about that church. Turn over to the book of Revelation just a moment. The book of Revelation. I want you to see this just a moment here. And in chapter 2, the very first church that Jesus has John to write to was the church of Ephesus. And look what he said. He said, unto the angel or the pastor of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. What were the first works? To love the Lord God, and to do what he said do, because they loved him. Or else, I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Man, the church of Ephesus began well. But you know what? They began to forget why they did what they did. They were very busy for the Lord. They were doing all sorts of things. but they left their first love. And folks, listen to me today. Let's not leave our first love. Amen. What we do for God, let's do it today because of what He did for us. John wrote in 1 John, he said, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Amen. That's why we do it. So I want you to see next the teachings of the epistle to the Ephesians. I want you to look at this with me today. Because the Apostle Paul never forgot where the Lord had found him and all that the Lord had done for him, he wanted everybody else who accepted Christ to do the same. He would tell them, don't forget, don't forget. And this is what Jesus reminded them of in Revelation chapter 2. When John wrote his letter, you've forgotten, you've left your first love. Don't forget. And folks, that's an easy thing to do. We see the blessings that God gives us, but we forget about the blesser, the one who gave the blessings. And we don't need to forget that. And as the Holy Spirit directed him in writing this letter to the Ephesians there, we see how God used his letter not only to strengthen them and encourage them in their faith, but he also showed them through this letter how that they could indeed there could be unity among all the brethren, all the believers, whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be bond or free. And the Bible said back in Romans chapter 12, he wrote there, he said, the body of Christ being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Folks, we are one family today. Amen. We are part of the bride of Christ. We're the body. Now, the body is made up by many members. And when one member hurts, the rest of the body hurts. Yesterday, my wife and I were splitting wood again. And man, I'd been down on my knees, and man, my hip began to hurt. And she looked at me. She said, are you hurting? I said, a little bit. She said, well, I'm tired too. Let's go in. When I hurt, the rest of the body hurt, okay? All right? But listen, that's the way it should be, all right? Why? Because we are all one body. Our burdens that we each carry ought to be the burdens of everyone. Now look what Paul wrote. In the first chapter here, he opens with a word of thanksgiving. We're at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verses 2 and 3. He said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's pointing them back to the blesser. Amen. He's pointing them to the one who gave the blessings. Go down to verses 13 and 14. Paul reminds them here to be thankful, okay, for the Holy Spirit of promise that had been given to each of them. Do you realize today that you have dwelling within you as a born-again believer the same sweet Holy Spirit that dwelled in the Apostle Paul, that dwelled in Peter, that dwelled in John, that dwelled in Matthew, Luke, Mark, all those other great men of God? The same Holy Spirit dwells within you and me today. He's the same God. And he said there that they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Then look at verses 15 through 18. Look what he wrote. He said, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then in chapter 2, and you can call chapter 2 basically the before and after chapter, because he's talking about how they were before they were saved. And he's reminding them of what has happened now that they are saved. But we look at this thing in chapter 2. I don't have time to read all the verses. But if you look at verse number 11 here, all right? He starts out verse number 11. He says, wherefore what? Remember. Don't forget. Never forget. Say that with me today. Never forget. Never forget. Wherefore, remember. And look at this. He said that ye, being in time past, before you were saved, you were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what we were like before we got saved, folks. That's what we were like. We were aliens to this kingdom of Christ. We were not known by God. Oh, but look at verse 13. But now, amen, I love that. But now, and notice here, but now is always present tense. It's always present tense. But now, look what he said. But now, since being saved, now they were in Christ Jesus. Now they who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In verse 18, in Christ, whom they had now access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look at verse 19. They were no more strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And look at verse 20. They were now built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. Isn't that great? Before we were saved, we were nothing. But now we're saved, we're in Christ Jesus. Amen. Here's how you can remember what we are as Christians. Spell out the word C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Christian. Now remember this, never forget, before Christ, take off the word Christ, that word Christian, just take it off. You got three little letters left, I-A-N. You know what that stands for? I am nothing. Without Christ, I was nothing. Without Christ, you are nothing. But with Christ, I am a new creature, amen? I'm a new creature in Christ. And God did the work. Now look at verse chapter 3. And we're going to look down at verses 7 and 8. And here Paul reminded them of what Christ had done for them personally. And look at what he wrote. He said, wherefore, or whereof, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Boy, when I was dealing with this thing about knowing what God wanted me to do, I was reading this very passage of Scripture as a 17-year-old boy and thinking, I'm going to go in the Air Force, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to make my own money, I'm going to be a great guy, I'm going to go to the moon and all this other stuff. And God said, no, you're not. And I read this passage of Scripture. And God told Paul the same thing that the Spirit of God spoke to me. And he said, unto you, Rashut, the least of all my saints, is this grace given that you are going to preach the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. You're going to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I thought to myself, no, I'm not. And God said, yes, you are. And within that next year, God so convicted me of what I needed to do for him. And you know what? It got down to the point that I was more afraid not to do what God said do than I was to do what God said do. I did not want to be put up on the shelf of do nothing. I wanted to be used of God. I wanted my life to count for Christ. And God did exactly that. And it's here that he encouraged them. He encouraged me. He encourages you. And he lets them know that he was praying for them. And look at what he said here in verses 16 through 19. He writes of his desire for their lives. Look what he said. That he, talk about the Lord God, the Holy Spirit of God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? By faith. Not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's not by our goodness or anything else. It's not by baptism or church membership. But He dwells in our hearts by faith. And look at this. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And folks, within this one epistle, he included several great exhortations to the people in Ephesus. Look what he said. That they, both Jew and Gentile, might be unified within the body of Christ as believers brought together in Christ. They needed to be unified in Christ Jesus. Secondly, that they might be seen pure in the society around them. Folks, the world needs to see a difference in your life and in my life. If we look like the world and we act like the world and we talk like the world, what difference is there from the world? Oh, but Christ dwells within me. I've got the liberty to do anything I want to do. Our liberty stops where lost souls are seeing what we're doing and thinking, well, hey, if that's what being a Christian is, why do I need to get saved? And that's what the world may think today. We need to live our lives pure and simple for Him. Look what else he said. He talked about it here, how that they might be more loving toward one another within their own homes. In this epistle, he talked to them about that. If you'll look at it here in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, about how the wives were to love their own husbands, not everybody else's husband, your husband, you're to love him, all right? And husbands, you listen to me now, you're to love your wife. Whether she loves you back or not, you're to love her. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Men, you and I are the spiritual leaders in our home. We're to be that example before our homes. We're to teach our children to love us, and because they love us, to obey us and do what we say do. Just like we as born-again believers are supposed to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that in chapters 5 and 6. They were to be prepared for spiritual battles that awaited them. How would they do that? In chapter number 6, he begins there in verse 10, and he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Folks, listen to me today. You and I are in a battle today. There is a spiritual battle. I don't know if you can see this or not in our world today, but there is a battle. They called a 21-year-old guy yesterday. Was it yesterday in New York? Going to do a big thing against the Jewish people, okay? There in celebration of October the 7th. Thank God they caught him. Who knows what would have happened? But folks, the battle is real today. The sons of Abraham are fighting today, okay? And it all goes back to the Word of God. The Word of God said it's going to be this way before the Lord Jesus comes back again. Oh, how close must we be today to His coming. He wanted them to be prepared and to remember that the devil was their enemy and not their friend, okay? He's not your friend. He wrote this epistle to them so that they might know and understand that their defense against the wicked one, the devil, Satan, that old serpent, okay, what could be only found in the truth of the Word of God. It's not in denominationalism. It's not in your emotions. It's in the Word of God. And God's Word shows us where all truth, all righteousness, all faith, all peace comes from. It comes from Christ and in Christ alone. And then he finalizes it that they might realize that their only offense against the devil would be in the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. That's our defense, and that's our offense today. Hey, listen, get in the book and let the book get in you, and God will bless it in a great way. Then that brings us to the book of the Philippians. The epistle written to the Philippians, and next week we'll start right there, okay? All right? We'll start with the book of Philippians. Listen, if you will this week, take time to read through the book of Ephesians and see the message that God wants to give to you as well as to me. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you, dear God, today for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the fact of knowing that there was a time past when we didn't know you. And Lord, we were lost in our sin. But oh God, thank God for that day that you reached down further than we could ever reach up. And Lord, you changed us, you saved us, you made us new creatures in Christ. Help us, Lord, to understand today that we've got a job to do for you. And we ought to be living for you today because we love you enough to do it. Please, Lord, help us, dear God, to be good examples of the believers in all that we do and say. Father, I pray now that you'll bless our pastor as we try to honor him today. I pray, dear God, that you'll bless him and strengthen him. Give him the words to say to us today that we might be able to leave this place grounded in the Word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. Speak to men's hearts and women's hearts today. And for be any lost that need to know you as their Savior, God, help them to come to you today. And we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being here, okay?